Bibles tonight. Get my glasses out so I can see across the room here. I'm the opposite of most people. I can't read the words in front of me with my glasses on. I have to take them off to see them. But I can't see across the room here unless I put them on. So I'm going to keep them here so they're close by. And I want open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians. We're going to look at one verse in chapter 4. One verse in chapter 4. I want to preach a message tonight entitled, How's Your Dwelling? How's your dwelling? Question mark. Miss Patty, that's the name of it. How's your dwelling? Okay. She always asks me, what's the name of pastor's message? Sometimes it's a whole paragraph. That's the name of it. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm going to pray for the message tonight. Father in heaven, we just pray that you work with us, Lord, in a world that bombards us with constant negativity. Negativity is a commodity. It's what sells, it's what sizzles, it's what makes money. It's what people like to sit and seethe in. Lord, help us to not have that in our own dwelling. That you would help us, as this Bible verse says, is to think on the things that are pure and true and honest and lovely. And Lord, apply that to our lives. Help us where we need it. Make this message be a blessing to someone. In Jesus' name, amen. Normally, when Pastor asks me to preach, he gives me a little runway. He's like, hey, on this date next month, I'm going to be out of town for this. Can you preach on this night? And normally what I'll do when I know I have a preaching date upcoming, I'll start to lay aside little nuggets. If I hear Pastor preach from the sound booth and he preaches on a verse and that triggers something inside, I'll go write it and I'll put that right in my phone or write it down, and because that's going to be part of that sermon, because he hit me a certain way with it or he has a certain point. And maybe it's not how he preached it, but it got me thinking in a direction, and I want to capture that. And I'll start forming my outline weeks in advance. But Pastor asked me just a few days ago, he says, do you want to preach? Would you like to preach Sunday night or Wednesday night? Well, judging by where I was last Wednesday, I was in a sewer hole covered in sewage for most of the day. Barely got home in time to even get to church. And I wouldn't be looking forward to preaching after that. I'd probably be in a miserable mood. But, you know, on Sundays, sometimes I play basketball. And I'm in a happy mood after basketball. I says, Pastor, why don't you have me preach on Sunday night? Get that little adrenaline going. And then I could preach for a full hour and a half. I'm good to go. Just kidding. But normally I'll preach on what God has really been laying on my heart over that period of time. And really the thing that he's been working with me on and that I've been thinking on is focusing on things that are good. Trying to avoid the constant bombardment of negativity and of problems and of drama and of things that are destructive and bad, and focus on the things that are essentially in themselves good. All of these things that are true, that are honest, that are just, that are pure, lovely, good report, virtue, things that you can praise the Lord for. Think on these things. And this verse has just been hitting me home more and more. And I says, that's what I want to share with the church, is what God's been dealing with me on over these last few weeks. And hopefully this verse here can be a blessing to someone that may need it. I'm thinking, how is your dwelling? Now we think of a dwelling as a home. But the Bible says our bodies are a dwelling. It's our earthly tabernacle. And you live inside your body. And you really live inside the head of your body. You're not living in your foot or your arm. It's there. You could feel it if something's wrong. But it's reporting to your thinker. And that's your computer that's processing everything. And how is that thinker going? The Bible sometimes refers to your deep thinking, your moral thinking, as the heart. How is the thoughts and intents of the heart? Are you focusing on the constant negative news? Are you moved and shaken by that? Are you constantly down in the dumps because of drama that's all around you? Sometimes it's part of your life you can't avoid. Sometimes it's coming external from other people. The Bible says about what things to think on in your dwelling. And if somebody got inside your dwelling, your thinker and your heart, would they see it's cluttered? Would they see it's pretty dirty in here? You know, we are addicted to things as a nation, but just in general as people, that are negative and destructive. We just focus on, we just are attracted to it. And I think about a YouTuber that I had seen, and I came across him because he had a picture of a new Ferrari. And I like watching YouTube videos on cars sometimes. I'm a big car guy. I'm going to the big Carlisle show coming up this weekend. And he had this video on the things a Ferrari can do. And I thought it was going to be a positive, showing me this new Ferrari, what it can do. But that's not what it was. It was a guy who destroys nice cars. He had it at his farm, and he's building a block wall with his Ferrari, meaning he'd put the block down, get in the Ferrari, and push it with the block. Or he had all these farm animals. He'd open the trunk and put his feet in there and let the farm animals come in. He was doing all kinds of crazy things to destroy the Ferrari. And he is a sensation. He does that with all kinds of valuable things. And he's got all these hits and views. And he makes his money off destroying things. And he knows he can buy another $500,000 Ferrari with the money that's going to bring in, because he's going to, in the end, turn a profit. Because people love to see these nice things destroyed. And that's sad. You know, my father always had a couple of things that he hated. From a young boy, he would say, I hate a thief and I hate a liar. And aside from that, I hate senseless destruction. You know, I had a lot of toys growing up. And the reason why I don't have a lot of my childhood toys, even though I'm a collector of toys, especially 80s vintage toys, is because a friend came over the house and he had a great idea. Why don't we make a junkyard? And what do you mean junkyard? He's like, well, you smash a bunch of stuff up, and then you have your junkyard, and that's part of where you play. And, you know, this toy destroys that toy, and this toy smashes that toy. And he was a friend that I kind of liked. He was older than me. I wanted to look up to him and impress him, and I says, all right, we have our sandbox there and our toys. I says, let's make a junkyard. And I remember going into the house and bringing out some of my mask toys, which I collected this day, but some of my originals, bringing them out. And I brought some of my Transformers. And we would smash them. Now, he was having a fun time. As he's smashing them, I'm like, should we be doing this? Is this like, these are my toys. Like, yeah, this is fun. We need to have a junkyard out here. And until my mother seen it and came out and pulled me in the house, and then I had to wait for my father to get home. And she said, look in the backyard what your son did. And he said, all these toys that they worked hard, spent this money on, and it was just destroyed. Wheels pulled off, things broken, smashed, senseless. And boy, did I get it. In the old days, they called that a whooping. I didn't know that they call it, later they say they call it a switch, but it's when you take a fly swatter and you cut the big fat end off of it, and all you have is that thing that you pull back and snap. Yeah, 100 of those. Fun. But I never did that again. And the senseless destruction. But we see that all over our country. Senseless destruction. You know, that YouTuber was destroying things. But one YouTuber that I like to watch is one called Graveyard Cars. Now, Graveyard Cars is not in the grave. It's not in a. It's about resurrecting old, smashed, beat-up cars and resurrecting them from the grave. Will this car live again? And they specialize in taking cars that were in the bottom of a pond for 30 years, or they were burnt, or they were in an accident. One was half buried into a bank with trees and moss growing up. And they take this car through the stages and make it as if it was better than brand new. Award-winning restorations of Chryslers, Mopars, Challengers, Cudas, Daytonas, you name it. And I would love seeing that progression. And I just think about, what do we dwell on? Do we like to see things that are built, that are restored, that are clean, that are in the right place? Or do we love to see the train wrecks? Do we love to see the destruction? Are we like the Romans of old that just loved to see people thrown to the lions and ripped apart, and that's what they loved and they enjoyed? Are we like that? You know, I think of our cities. Our cities are overrun with graffiti and garbage and people half naked in the streets, defecating in the streets. If I would hate to go sometimes to our big cities and just see just the decay and think, is that the great America? Our biggest cities just decayed. I remember Donald Trump, before he was elected president, the very first time, he said, I went on a train ride, and I went through the heartland of our country, and I would see these big factories just like tombstones sticking out of the ground, empty, rusted, no cars around them. That was once the mighty industrial strength of America, and now they're just like tombstones. Here lies U.S. Steel. Here lies Bethlehem Steel or whatever company they were. And it would hit his heart. And I think of what he's trying to build right now. What is the big building project that he's overseeing right now? Does anybody know? Well, he is building the wall. People don't know that he is moving at breakneck speed because he's keeping it on the down low as to not have the construction workers harassed, but he is moving fast through the wall. But what is he doing right now that is public, that they're trying to fight him on? Anybody know? The ballroom. That's right. He's trying to build up the ballroom so that we have a state-of-the-art place to bring in foreign dignitaries that he doesn't have to risk driving down to and renting out some other third-party hall and getting all the Secret Service there. And he wants it to be in a secure location on site. That's beautiful. That's a great representation to these foreign dignitaries. He's working on the reflecting pool, and he's having challenges with that. He's working on the other monuments in D.C. And boy, are the Democrats fighting. They do not want it cleaned up. They do not want it looking sharp. They want the mold and the junk. They want the garbage on the sides of the street. They do not want it clean. But Donald Trump is different. He drives, when he's in his motorcade, he's looking out. And he's looking down different streets, and he's like, why is that water fountain not going? Well, let's get some bids. Let's get somebody on that. Mr. President, that water fountain hasn't been running since the Ford administration in the 70s. Why? I want that water fountain going. why is there all this mold buildup and tarnish on this archway over here? He's like, well, let's get somebody on to clean it. And he'll go to the next street and he'll say, why is there garbage piled up there? Why is this like this? Why is that not clean? And their heads are, he's got one girl that's just with him to write these things down every time he says it. And they're attacking her right now. And she walks around, literally. This is a cancer survivor that when Donald Trump made the Right to Try Act, saved her life. And she feels in a debt to her. And she walks around with a printer hanging from her behind him. Because when he says something, he doesn't want an electronic. He wants it printed and in his hand. And she types it up and spits right out. And she gives it to him. And the city of D.C. is being cleaned up. And it's because that's our house. That's our dwelling. When the prime minister of Japan comes over, or China, or you name the country, what do they see? Do they see a stinking, tarnished, rotting United States Capitol? And what kind of impression does that give them? Is this the Christian nation, United States, the most powerful nation in the world? And they just got homelessness everywhere and garbage and it smells and everything, nothing's clean. It's just, Trump said, that's not, no. This will not do. We're going to clean our home. We're going to have a presentation. Now, if Donald Trump feels that way towards Washington, D.C., how should we feel towards our own church? When we bring those off of the bus routes, we bring those off of in Scranton and Dixon City and surrounding communities, we bring them into our dwelling. What presentation are we putting out there? You know, I think of my wife's former pastor, Pastor Morgan. He was a stickler for presentation. You say, oh, well, that's kind of superficial. You see, first impressions are very important. And maybe somebody won't get to hear the rest of the word because they've seen something that said, this place is not really for us. And he would have these meetings. And my wife would tell me, if he's walking down in the church somewhere and he sees a piece of paper, sometimes he'd watch and see if anybody picked it up. And if not, he'd pick it up and he'd bring it to the meeting. And he'd say, I found this. He says, I seen three of our staff people walk right past this and not pick this up. And there would be issues in that meeting. And you say, it's just a piece of paper. No, it was about a presentation. It was about it being God's house. And God's house was a testimony to those outside. And just like our nation's capital should be a testimony, what Donald Trump is doing is right. And for Democrats and leftists to fight him and vandalize and try to get it shut down, for if not him, then who? My son is working full-time for a landscaping company. And the owner has a very good business. Does a lot of the landscaping of businesses in the area. And he's got mostly newer trucks. And Benjamin said, yeah, we named the trucks. He said, this one's named such and such, Big Red. This one's named this. This one's named that. And he says, but there's one truck. The guy who runs it, he says, we're going to name it the garbage truck. He says, because in his truck, he's got all of his lunches from last week sitting there stinking. He says, there's cups everywhere. His old coffee cups are thrown in the back. He says, if you go to sit in that guy's truck, you're going to sit on an old cheeseburger. He says, well, that one we named the garbage truck. And I just think of, the Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. Now, I'm talking about presentation on the outside. As my introduction. And we would do well to learn that where we can, it doesn't mean we all have to have mansions that project beautifully. What God has given you, how do you take care of it? Do you take care of it as if you're a steward for the Lord himself? Because the Bible says, he that is faithful in little will I make ruler over much. Are you not even able to be faithful in the little he's given you? To do the best that you can do. Because the Bible says, remember that we actually are laboring for the Lord himself. And he's going to give us something that we are going to then turn around and give an account of. Now, I want to say, how is your dwelling? You know, I think of Brother Joe. in our church here. You know, Brother Joe is kind of like the Donald Trump of Revival Baptist Church. And I don't mean because he's a billionaire. I mean because he walks around the church thinking, what could we do to fix that? How can we fix this leak? How can we make the bathrooms better? How can we improve the parking lot? How can we improve that? He's constantly walking around thinking, what can we do to make the presentation better? And I think even a Brother Joe is not going to get a lot accomplished without a Brother Elgin. You need the right guys to do it. And we're thankful for all the work Brother Elgin has done. And we've seen this place really take shape for those and others who've helped to support him. I told Brother Elgin one day, I says, boy, that girl's bathroom looks so good. I says, we have the air call. I says, maybe we got to name that bathroom after you. The Brother Elgin bathroom. He goes, no, brother, I'm good. I don't need that. I'm good. It's okay. I said, by the time he's done, we might be naming a lot of things after him here. But that's on the outside. I want to talk about how is your dwelling on the inside. Number one, how is your dwelling on what you watch? Do you know the Bible in Lamentations 3:51 says that thine eye hath affected thine heart? Your eye affects your heart. And the dwellings of your heart, the musings of your heart, what you're thinking on. You know, I see these, sometimes they're up all year, and it just drives me nuts. You ever see these big 10-foot, 12-foot tall skeletons in people's yards? I mean, a skeleton is a picture of death and something that just rotted away. And yet people think it's so cool. I want to put it right in my yard in front of my house. So that's the first thing people see about my dwelling is the face of death of a dry bone skeleton. And these things are huge. And then a big storm comes in and it just knocks them all over. Especially in this area, we get some wicked storms. But, you know, I'm not a fan of dressing my house up for Halloween. And I'm not preaching against this, if that's your thing. But in cobwebs and in spiders. You don't want to know why? Because that's a picture of neglect and abandonment. You could drive anywhere in Scranton areas and see houses that are like that naturally, right now, all year round. Lots of neglected, abandoned houses. Why decorate your house to look like that? Is that the image that we're trying to portray is neglect and abandonment? And the same thing when I see a church. Me and my wife looked at seeing this one church. Like, boy, wouldn't it be great if our church was this close to our house where this one was? And I said, but you know what? I'd never want my house in the middle of a cemetery. I mean, what kind of picture is that to people? You just got tombstones all around. Come on for Sunday morning service. And it's like, you're in a graveyard. No, I'd rather be where we're at than in the middle of a graveyard. Now, I'm not preaching against Halloween. I'm not against American holidays. Christmas, Easter. You say, Brother Bob, are you against, you know, all these holidays have their roots in paganism. You know, the chopping of a tree and putting your house, that's paganism. You know, the replenishing of the earth in Easter with the Easter eggs, the fertility goddess, that's paganism. Halloween is an old Catholic holiday when the souls come out of the graves. You know, are you for these? Listen, I'm not going to preach again holidays because we have, as a society, Americanized most of these holidays to us, that's not what these things mean. I mean, Christmas, I know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. But thank the Lord our country still has a day where we celebrate the greatest gift ever given. And we remember that. We don't know the exact day anyways. That's not necessarily the important part. And why do you think the left and the liberals and the anti-God, godless people hate that holiday? That tells you at least it's probably something pretty good. And you know what? Keep Christ in Christmas, and it's fine. Easter. Hey, at least we have a time where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And no, we're not celebrating the fertility goddess. And to do an Easter egg hunt, it doesn't mean that to us. But keep the main thing about Jesus. And I'm not saying I'm against Halloween, but I just don't like things that portray death. Hey, if kids want to come in and dress like a superhero or a cartoon character, or if they want to dress like in a robe and a staff, which is pretty much every Bible character. Which Bible character are you? You got a robe and a staff. Pick one, and pretty much any. That's what they all look like. But that's fine. But now, to portray a decaying body, death, that's just something. I don't dwell on those things. I don't want to be part of those things, because my Bible says whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise, think on these things. And just a decaying body, and I'm going to go on with horror movies. I don't believe that a Christian has any place watching horror movies, where the point of the movie is to show human bodies being eviscerated and destroyed. First of all, I believe those type of movies will invite demonic activity into the home. I do believe that. Secondly, why would you get, and there's people who love this, they get stirred up and enjoy watching this kind of stuff, watching blood and watching gore. And that's exciting to them, and they want to watch this movie. The next Saw number 15 is out, and I want to see how they're going to mutilate these people. What kind of person gets enjoyment out of watching mutilation? And I am not for these horror movies. Why? Because my Bible says, think on things that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, good report, virtue. Does that stuff have that? Well, the Bible says don't think on those things. Now, so number one, how's your dwelling? How's your dwelling on what you're watching? Because your eye will affect your heart. Number two, how's your dwelling on your speech and what you talk about? There is so many verses about the tongue and about how destructive it could be. And we already said it, and we know that people are addicted and love drama. We love negativity. We have a hard time turning the page from negativity because we want to stay in that because there's a certain comfort there. A guy that I've been in the sports card business and Pokemon and collectible card business for a good while now. And a guy who runs a YouTube channel, they call him Neo, but his name is Rob, and from Northeast Ohio, that's what Neo is, sports cards. And I've always enjoyed watching his content because he's real. A lot of YouTubers put on a face, and they're way too ambitious or energetic, but that's not really them. The reason I always like Neo is he's always just a normal guy. And I talk with him back and forth. We meet at shows. We've done deals together. And he's a national YouTuber. I mean, he's one of the big guys in the card business. But we do know each other and developed a little bit of a friendship. And he said to me at the sports card convention, he says, Bob, it's amazing. I can put out a video that says, steady gains on Mickey Mantle cards continue. Nobody will watch it. But if I put a video that says the latest Pokemon set craters and is going to zero, he says, I get so many views. It's crazy. He says, the algorithm goes nuts. He says, if I don't put something negative in the thumbnail of the YouTube video, it's crickets. Nobody cares about it. I can show the market's doing good. Here's a 2% gain for this month in vintage cards. Nobody's going to watch that video. But if I say market crash on the horizon, everybody's going to watch that video. And, you know, we are like that, too, when it comes to negative things. Now, everybody has a family that is going to have negative things happen to them. there's going to be drama. I have it on my side in the family. Angela has it on her side of the family. There's things that you just can't get away from that you're going to have to deal with. There's going to be tragedies. There's going to be unfortunate circumstances. I think a pastor with the bus issue used that money to buy a brand new bus, and the first week he has it, this problem, and then this problem. You cannot avoid... we get enough negativity that is going to be dropped on us that we have to deal with. We don't need to subject ourselves to negativity and drama that we could possibly avoid. We have enough already that we can avoid. And we need to know when we can to back off from that, because it will affect us and it will turn us to be negative ourselves. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, I think a pastor said, you know, there was a time that Mrs. Bloom, early in the ministry, had a group of ladies. And the ladies would confide in her. Now, that's a good thing. That's something that the pastor's wife should be there for. And that's a blessing to the church if she can. But what pastor was seeing is the same couple of ladies would be calling Mrs. Bloom every night of the week, all hours of the night. And Mrs. Bloom would spend hour counseling after hour counseling after hour counseling. And the problem was, these ladies were not listening to her counsel. They really had no interest in fixing the problems that they were in, because there was a certain level of comfortability being in their problems. And fixing them could be uncomfortable. A lot of times fixing an issue with a family member or someone else, a friend, involves doing some uncomfortable things, like truly saying I'm sorry and forgiving. That's uncomfortable to do. It's more comfortable to say, you don't believe what they said to me last week. You don't believe what they're doing. Now they're out with this person doing this and this and this. It's more comfortable to just keep flipping that up than forgiving and moving on. That's tough. Or sometimes fixing things means you have to confront somebody. And a lot of people don't like confrontation. They'd rather just talk to their girlfriend about it. Or talk to a brother or sister about it, because that's easier than fixing problems is uncomfortable. It involves sometimes taking a stand, making decisions, pulling away from somebody. And what pastor said after a little while, he said he would see her on the phone, and an hour would go by, 2 hours, and he would go, off the phone. I need my wife back. Because they weren't really there to fix the problem. They developed a comfortability being in it. And the Bible says, and I'm going back to this verse, what are we to think on? Whatsoever things are true, honest, things are just, what things are pure, lovely, good report, there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. The quicker you can get to that, the less it's going to affect your heart. And I'm not saying that you have to just put up the hand to everybody. There are things you have to deal with. And there's times you need to be there for people. And God will put those people in our lives, and some of them have nowhere else to go. But wisdom sees that, can we help this person, and do they want to be helped? Or are they just going to bring me through their drama with them night after night? So number one, how's your dwelling in what you watch? Number two, how's your dwelling in your speech? And the last point part for that is, Nehemiah had Tobias and Sanballat. He was doing a great work. And they came to him with negative tidings. And they wanted to see the work stop. Whereas Nehemiah had the heart of Donald Trump. He wanted to build. He wanted to make things stronger. These guys wanted to tear down. They did not want to see that. And he said to them, I can't come down. I am doing a great work. And must this work cease while I come down to you? We should be busy in doing something positive, that we really don't have a lot of time to get involved in negativity. Why? Because we're busy doing a great work. Are we busy doing a great work? Number three, how's your dwelling in how you handle your money? Remember, come back to the verse, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise. Do you put your money towards those kind of things? Or do we put our money in things that are wasted? Luke 16 has an amazing parable. It's one of my favorite parables. It's the parable of the unjust steward. He says, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, and this is in Luke 16, verse 2, how is that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer my steward. Then the steward said within himself, this is before he actually had to give the account, he had a little bit of time. He says, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. My gravy train is over. He's like, he's going to find out that I've been skimming. And I cannot dig. This guy, he said, I can't go dig ditches. I can't go make money. I don't even know how to even make money other than doing what I've been doing. He was scared. He's like, what am I going to do? I'm going to lose my income. So, have you been there before? That's scary. And he says, I'm too ashamed. He says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm resolved. When I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Who? The customers. He called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said, first, how much owest thou, my Lord? He says, 100 measures of oil. He says, take unto him thy bill, sit down quickly and write 50. And then to another, I'm going to come down, he says, and number verse 8, the Lord commended the unjust steward. Now, whoa, he commended him? He basically went to all of his boss's creditors and said, hey, buddy, he's like, I want to help you out. He says, I'm gonna do you a solid. You owe him 100 bucks? I'm going to give you half off. He says, but don't forget it. Don't forget it. And did he have the authority to do that? Technically, but it was unethical. But he did have the authority for that little bit of time until he had it taken away. And that Lord didn't, you know what he said? Wow. I got to give him credit. The guy was smart. He said to him, because he had done wisely. Unethical? Yes, but wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, that means you die, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. This unjust steward was smart enough to know he's about to lose his livelihood. He started preparing for the next one. That's what Jesus said is smart about this guy. But he says he's smarter than we are as Christians. Are we preparing by investing into the next habitation so that it will be there for us? Now, you can apply that to investing money today, because you are a steward of every dollar God allows you to get. Deuteronomy, as Pastor preached, he said, I give thee the power to make wealth. Yes, that's right. And he said to him, so when you get your paycheck, are you blowing it on things that there is nothing to show for it? How much does a pack of cigarettes cost today? $6.66. I think a lot. I asked one of my coworkers. I says, how much do these cigarettes costing you? I said, what are they, like 8, 9, 10 bucks? He goes, try 20. $20 a pack? I says, how much do you smoke? He says, about a pack and a half a day. I'm thinking $20 to $30 a day going up in smoke. The Bible says whatsoever things are true, of good report, pure, lovely. That's wasting money on things that are flat out wasteful and bad for you. When I was very young, I would go to the Woodlands as an unsafe person, and sometimes I would spend $80 to $100 in a night. And when I started going real downhill, I'd go multiple nights a week. If I had just put that money in a high-yield income fund, I would be a millionaire right now. You know, I told Benjamin, I says, you could take a paycheck, and you can spend it on a bunch of things you like. And those things will probably be gone a year from now. I says, or if you saved up $2,500, that's about a month of pay for somebody making 15 to 20 bucks an hour, maybe a little on the high side. $2,500 invested at an average interest rate, which is 10 to 14%. Every fund, growth fund on earth has done that for the last 50 years. That's normal. That would pay you $1 per day for the rest of your life. That means you wake up in the morning, if you're in a high dividend fund, and a dollar is under your pillow from the dividend fairy. And then you wake up the next day and a dollar is under, or that money can just be gone. I said, or you can work hard for that money, and then that money can pay you back for the rest of your life. And when you get enough of those invested, it'll make more than your job. And how much more impact can you have? I think of Russell Anderson from Hiles Anderson. He was having a hard time giving away so much money because he was trying to find ministries worthy enough to invest it properly for the next kingdom. And he's like, he was struggling. He's like, I got to give away so many tens of thousands per day or else my investments make more than what I can give to the Lord. And he says, I got to make sure it goes into proper hands that are going to be buses on the ground, kids in church, baptisms. He's like, I don't want this to go to fluff up some ministry somewhere. But it's because he had so much money invested, it just kept coming in. And now it's not just that dollar a day. Do you know if you do what's called a DRIP program, dividend reinvestment program, and you don't spend that dollar you get? And you put that dollar back into the fund, that dollar starts gaining you interest. And then day number two, you put that dollar gains you interest. And that goes from a dollar a day to a dollar 2 cents a day to a dollar 4 cents a day to a dollar 8 cents a day. And then it calls what's called the dividend snowball. I says, Benjamin, you can have that working for you if you're willing to invest some of this money at this young age. Or you could go spend it on a bunch of stuff. And then you have to go out and work all over again. You only have so many days and so many hours of labor. And eventually, as this guy says, I cannot dig. I'm too ashamed to beg. So what do you invest your money in? Or do you spend money on habits that are wasteful and destructive? I wish I had that money in my early 20s that I would spend on junk and on nights going out. And I wish that money was in a fund spitting me out dividends that I can use for the Lord's work. Number four, so I said, how's your dwelling in what you watch, in what you talk about, and how you handle your money? Last is how you invest your time. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. God gives us a certain amount of time, and then we have a choice of how we use that time. We can invest it properly, or we can squander that time. All of us have squandered days in our account. Some of us have squandered decades. You know, I really got into it one time, reading all the Star Wars novels. I got really into it. And just as Brother Matt said, I read over 100 novels. And you used to be able to ask me any weird question about an alien in the background on a bar in Star Wars, and I'd tell you his whole family history. You could tell about a ship, And, okay, what's the name of this ship? The Tyrant. Okay, here's when it was made at the Kuwait Drive Yards. It was given to Darth Vader as his personal ship. Then he graduated to the Executor. I could tell you every single thing. And I spent so many days and nights reading those novels. And then Disney bought Star Wars. And they said, we don't want our writers to have to bump up against those established timelines. We want them to just have freedom to write. So we're going to just nix all those. They didn't happen. They're gone. They're garbage. All those characters, all those adventures, all those things I spent so much time reading. And it's like, ugh, it's gone. It was a, why did I even read it? I spent time, I invested time, and then it was just gone. I think about video games. And again, I'm not against reading a novel. I'm not against playing video games. But I know I'm the kind of person that when I get into a video game, I want to beat every board, play the entire thing. I want to know every special room and unlock all these crazy things. I want to know that video game inside and out. And I remember playing a game called World of Warships, and it'd be a battle. We were playing other people online, and it would be 2 o'clock in the morning, just one more battle. 3 o'clock in the morning, one more battle. I'd start to see the sun coming up in the morning. I got to go to work. One more battle. And when I was done, even though I got enjoyment at the time, it amused me, allowed me to just enjoy some time and not having to do anything. What did I have when that was all done? Did I have any money in an investment gaining me dividends? No. Did I have any souls saved? Did I make an investment into somebody's life? Do I have anything in heaven waiting for me? You know, the Bible says, think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. If there be any virtue, think on these things. How's your dwelling and where you put your money? I like watching sports. And the Phillies came back and won their 9th in a row today after being down 4-0 in the bottom inning. I got excited. Hey, Pastor loves football, and I enjoy football. Brother Sarge is having an event here. Hey, we have Super Bowl Chili Bowls here. We could enjoy sports. But when I've never been given anything by the Phillies for all the games I've watched. They never brought me down and said, here's one of our greatest fans. He has watched 10,000 hours of Phillies games. We need to give him his homage. Okay. I say, the Eagles, we won the Super Bowl. They're going to look at me, it's like, boy, you're not we. They won the Super Bowl. You watched them win the Super Bowl. I'm not part of the team. And there's nothing to show at the end of that. I want to be focused, and I'm not against watching, taking time out for amusement or for, I enjoy doing something like this when I really put in a hard day. And I felt like I got something accomplished today. All right, now I could take some time and I could enjoy watching a movie with my wife. Or I can enjoy watching a Phillies game. But what did you do during the day? Did you earn that little bit of time amusement so you can still say, look what I did, look what I got done? Or do you just fall into the trap of going from one video game to the next sporting event that doesn't pay you any money to watch it or give you anything when your team wins or loses, or the next novel that you read that once it's done, it's on the sideline? How do you invest your time? And so in closing, I want to read this verse one more time. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things and try to push away where you can. Some of it can't be avoided, and God wants you to deal with it. But where it's unnecessary, push away the things that aren't in this category. Because your eye will affect your heart. As you think in your heart, so are you. And it will change your attitude and your countenance. And Lord, I pray that God helps us with that where we need it. Amen. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, we thank you for